And he's asked us to read in conjunction with that Matthew 18. Matthew 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeking that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. And if so be that he find it, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the ecclesia. But if he neglect to hear the ecclesia, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, who would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord, all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's give our attention to Brother Murray, and his title is Forgiving.
What's mine, sir? Everyone hear me? Right. Good morning, brothers and sisters and friends of the truth. When Brother Ronnie was up here a few moments ago, he made the comment that his sister wife gave him a semi-tune-up and told him not to mumble when he's up here. And at home, certain brothers in our ecclesia refer to me as Brother Mumbles. And so I guess maybe you've had the Mumble Brothers up here this morning, but we'll try to speak a little clearer this morning. Before I start, I would just like to say that it is appreciated by us visiting here all the work and the efforts that the Orlando Ecclesia puts into putting this gathering together. It's a lot of work, and it is appreciated by the household. And also I'd like to say that we bring with us from Southern Ontario the love and the well wishes of so many folks that, brothers and sisters, that you know up in our neck of the woods. And if you're ever in our area, we'd feel it as a slight if you did not stop by and visit with us for a while. As Brother said, my comments this morning are entitled Forgiving. Forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or as some others may say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. When we talk about the theme of forgetting, I feel that there is only one word which adequately expresses it, and the word is magnanimous. This long word means to be great-minded or large-hearted. More than anything else, the virtue of forgiveness elevates a man above a beast. If you seek for virtue or forgiveness in the jungle, you will look in vain. In the jungle, survival goes to the fittest and to the fiercest. However, God has given man the ability to rise to a higher existence, including the capacity to forgive. However, brothers and sisters, forgiveness is the end result or the effect. To recognize the cause, we have to examine that long word already mentioned, magnanimous. It is rather appropriate that a word of 11 letters is needed to describe the huge reservoir from which forgiveness flows, great-mindedness or large-heartedness. How refreshing it is for you and I to come in contact with men and women who reveal this quality of mercy. They're like oases in the desert of life. They are neither mean nor petty. They ooze forth a spirit of graciousness. They acknowledge that they are twice blessed by practicing it. They receive much more than they give. You know, when one comes to examine forgiveness, it is not a virtue that comes easily or naturally. It is one in constant need of cultivation. Those who possess this very desirable characteristic admit that at times it is accompanied with tears, loss of personal pride, and loss of self-esteem. However, they acknowledge that the benefits derived from forgiving far outweigh the sacrifices which they had to make. And now, the question that must concern each of us, How can we, in the state we find ourselves, with our veneer of civilization, learn to be magnanimous or forgiving? There is only one way, everyone, by closely examining the Bible method. In this wonderful mirror is reflected some lovely images of men and women who practiced forgiveness when it was least expected of them, but most needed. Consider Joseph in Egypt. Recall his history. In spite of his brothers, he rose to the rank of only Pharaoh being more important and powerful than he in the land of Egypt. The wheels of God grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly small. The moment arrived when those same brothers were delivered into his hand. And we all read this account taken from the 45th chapter of Genesis, the first five verses. If you would turn that up, please. Genesis 45, verses 1 through 5. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were trembled at his presence. They were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." Let us pause and ask ourselves, what would have I done in such circumstances? Well, we would have many options. We could have punished them. We could have applied the law of the jungle and obtained some sadistic satisfaction in the revenge that would follow from that. We could have said nothing, but no, not so Joseph. He was ruled by a higher law. His mind was exercised by two virtues, great-mindedness and large-heartedness. And so, when the crunch came, he showed forgiveness rather than vengeance. "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. So thou, it is not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren, and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. What, brothers and sisters, a family reunion that was. It was only made possible by the forgiveness flowing from a large heart and a great mind. It's little wonder, then, that Joseph is given honorable mention in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. At the 22nd verse, Hebrews 11:22, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." What an honor to have one's name mentioned in that faith chapter of Hebrews 11. He looked forward to the hour of resurrection. He put his religion into practice because he knew that the Creator of the universe was the one who had removed our transgressions from us, as far as the east is from the west, taken from Psalm 103. Let us move on in the mirror of time. There is a king sleeping in a cave in the wilderness of En-Gedi, the king of Israel. Another figure approaches and notices the slumbering Saul. Sadly, he considers that Saul has resentlessly sought to destroy him. David also recalls that God has chosen him to rule Israel. It would seem, says the law of the jungle, that providence has delivered Saul into his hands. And let's refresh ourselves in regards to this account by looking at 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter. 1 Samuel 24, the first four verses. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. Commencing at the 16th verse of the same chapter. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how thou hast dwelt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thy hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that that thou hast done unto me this day. However, David had been trained in quite a different school. To do what he did would to many men seem impossible. For David, it was pretty easy. He permitted Saul to live. In this generosity, we observe David's practicing the spirit of the moral law laid down at Sinai. Later in life, David committed a terrible sin. However, when God judged him, God remembered the occasion when David practiced forgiveness. What David gave in small measure, God more than repaid him. Passing on in history, we come to the day when the Apostle Paul arrived at Rome. We remember all that he had suffered at the hands of his own nation. We read about that long list of persecutions and oppressions in 2 Corinthians the 11th chapter. Second Corinthians 11, commencing at the 23rd verse. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings off, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings off, in hunger and thirst, in fastings off, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the ecclesias. Then we listened as he spoke to the Jewish leaders. What a splendid opportunity for Paul to indulge in self-pity. Look what my brethren have done so unjustly to me. Then he could have gone into this long list of things that we just read about. But what do we find, brothers and sisters? A small man in physical stature, but a Goliath in character and large-heartedness. In Acts 28, verse 19, Paul states, "But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of." There is our example. When we are tempted to sulk, or when we are tempted to rub salt into the wounds that we have received from imaginary or real offenses, let us remember Paul and adopt his attitude. The effect will be wonderful. We will have progressed in the art of forgiveness. We will have applied the lessons of Paul's exhortation from Ephesians 4, verse 32. "Be ye tender-hearted one towards another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us." For Christ's sake. The emblems each Sunday morning declare that we have one more person to view, one who is able to cultivate such self-control that what he could react perfectly to in all circumstances in life. Like us, Jesus read of men like Joseph and David. Their example became his own inspiration. He compiled and he used their example with a heart overflowing with kindness and compassion. It reached its peak in his appealing cry from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The power of those words has been felt by all of us. Divine forgiveness covered us. It blotted out our sins when we were left in darkness and embraced the truth through baptism. We cannot, brothers and sisters, reach the perfection that Jesus reached. But the lesson is there for all of us, whether we are new in the truth or veterans of it. The most righteous among us stands in need of forgiveness every hour of every day. But with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. This is the spirit which must guide our lives until we stand before our righteous judge. How full, brothers and sisters, of remorse we will be if we see someone so blessed whom we would not forgive receive eternal life while we are excluded. Our example is before us, the example of Christ and the words that he spoke and left on record for us. Let us never ignore the example set. Let us recall the character of forgiveness he so beautifully showed and build the same characteristics and virtues into our lives. For indeed, the compensation to us, if we can do that, will be great. Like our spiritual ancestors, we too will discover that we receive so much more than we will ever give. As the question was asked of our Master in Matthew, the 18th chapter, "How often shall I forgive my brother?" as often as necessary, brothers and sisters. And we do this, I think, in three different ways. The first one is putting away any desire to retaliate. Secondly, forgetting what was done to you. And thirdly, going to the person and healing the sore. We, in a few moments, brothers and sisters, will partake of the memorials. And when we think of our Lord, one of the characteristics, one of the virtues that should come flooding into our minds is the capacity that this man had to forgive. The capacity that he had to do that was huge. For he said, and we are told, "For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be weary in well-doing." We have to forgive, we have to wipe the slate clean, and we have to move on. To give this spirit of the truth, or this fruit of the truth, lip service, is a zero truthfully. I have looked at a few examples this morning, and there are many other examples in the scriptures of people who have forgiven and do forgive. And I would just like to deal with three more of them very quickly. And I want to have you ask yourselves a few questions. If the time does come when Uriah and David meet in the kingdom age, you knowing the characteristic of Uriah, is there any doubt in your minds that Uriah would not forgive David for what he did? There should be no doubt whatsoever. When we think of the account of Stephen and Paul, it is recorded for us that Stephen forgave the multitude that took part in that last terrible day of his life. And when those two individuals meet in the kingdom and come face to face, is there any doubt in your minds whatsoever that Stephen will forgive Paul for what he did on that day? And lastly, the time that our Lord had with his group after the resurrection and he met with them, is there any doubt in your minds that he did not forgive those men what took place that terrible evening in the garden? And particularly when he came face to face with Peter, do you have any doubt that our Lord did not forgive him for denying him three times that evening? We have all, brothers and sisters, been given many, many talents, many different talents. But I think one of the talents that we've all been given is the ability to forgive. Hopefully, we will not have the same said of us as was said of the parable in the scriptures, that we took this talent of forgiveness and buried it and did not use it, because the servant that did that was rebuked by his Lord when he returns. And that is a virtue, that is a characteristic that we all have and we all need to use it. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And now, brothers and sisters, the task for myself and the task for each one of us is to go out and to use this fruit of the Spirit that we have been given to the benefit of the household. Thank you.